This is Movies for the Blind, Episode 40, Panic in the Streets, Part 3.
Nevertheless, here we go.
Hello, and welcome to Movies for the Blind, where you can enjoy films without looking at a screen. I'm Valerie Hunter. We're heading for the end of Panic in the Streets, but there's a lot yet to get done, like, you know, saving the world from a plague epidemic. Clint, the doctor, and Tom, the cop, have gotten a little closer, learning the name of one of the men in on Kochak's murder, Poldy. They didn't find him where he'd been staying, but Neff, the reporter, found them. When he threatened to go public with the whole story, Tom threw him into jail, risking his career. Now he knows the guy he's been fighting with is actually on the team. Clint finally has the chance to go home for the first time since he was called away from his day off. That means he gets to reunite with his wife, played by Barbara Bel Geddes, who would collaborate with Elia Kazan to originate the role of Maggie the Cat on Broadway in Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, but of course would become much better known many years later as Miss Ellie on Dallas. So here she comes in the conclusion of Panic in the Streets. Later, lights go on in Clint's house, and his wife, Nancy, hurries outside in her robe and pajamas. Noticing a light around a corner, she follows it to a garage.
Clint? I thought I heard you.
Don't come any closer, honey. You better stay right up there.
Another contagion case, huh?
Yep.
He takes off his uniform.
Another uniform to be decontaminated. Some fun, huh?
He cleans out his pockets.
You didn't catch it yourself, did you? You look a little beat.
Yeah, I look so good normally.
Finding the bill she gave him earlier, he throws it down.
I didn't pay it.
You can pay it tomorrow.
No, I can't pay it tomorrow, and I can't pay it the next day. I spent the money. Now, will you please just forget about that bill? When I get the dough, I'll pay it. Just stop pestering me about it.
Clint, honey, I didn't say anything.
Yeah, I
know. Whenever you're tired, you always seem to think I'm scolding.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I wasn't.
I know you're right.
What happened?
I gave it to somebody.
Clint, I wasn't talking about the money.
Oh. Well, anyway, I spent it on something for the department.
You can put in a voucher or whatever they call them.
As far as I know, nobody's yet figured out a way to get money back from the U.S. government.
He puts on a robe.
Quickly, that is.
I'll make up the cop for you.
No, I've got to go right out again, honey.
Go right out.
Look, be a good kid and make me some coffee, will you?
How about some nice hot soup?
Just coffee, Nancy.
But, Clint, you
coffee.
Know?
As he rolls up his uniform, tied with his belt, Nancy calmly retreats. Clint tightens the belt, puts his hat on top, and turns to the closet where he got his robe, but pauses and looks around. He puts the uniform on top of the closet. Turning to what he cleaned out of his pockets, he picks up the bill. He crumples it and takes it with the other things as he leaves the garage. On his way to the house, he stops at the chest of drawers he was painting with Tommy and smacks the top of it. He wanders the yard, looking up into the sky, then heads up the stairs to the enclosed porch, where Nancy prepares a cot.
Nancy, I told you I can't sleep. I gotta take a shower and get out of here.
Did you sleep last night?
Last night? Yeah, sure, guess I must have. Oh, I didn't call you, did I?
That's all right.
I didn't think. It's a plague case, pneumonic.
Plague? Mm. Here in New Orleans?
Yeah, a woman died of it tonight. Whoever's carrying it's still wandering around.
Well, at least they have you. You've been through it. You know how to handle it.
Now look, hon, let's not be little Miss Sunshine.
As she goes into the kitchen, he looks at the cot.
All right. We went through it in Cal.
She returns with the tray.
Why don't you lie down? Just for an hour or two.
Gaffney's waiting for me at the office. He doesn't have any sleep either.
Gaffney can wait. He's younger than you are.
Maybe Methuselah's younger than I am tonight.
She sets down the tray.
What's eating you anyway?
Nothing.
Come on.
I'm all right. It's not a gas. I'm tired. I'm fed up.
She heads for the kitchen.
Well, if you won't lie down, at least sit. You're making me tired. Stand.
Stick around.
I gotta get the coffee.
I'm just afraid if I sit down, the next thing I'll lie down. If I lie down, sure as there are worms and little green apples, I'll fall asleep.
He sits on the cot in front of the tray.
If I fall asleep, I'm dead.
Now you're cooking.
She returns with the coffee pot.
Just don't let me fall asleep, will
you? I'll watch you.
He slumps as she pours the coffee.
You know, today I took a perfectly nice guy. A cop. Not the smartest guy in the world, but who is? So I push him around, make a lot of smart cracks about him. I tell him off all day long. And he winds up proving he's four times a man I'll ever be.
I don't believe
it. Why do I do that?
She sets down the coffee pot.
Hmm?
You're tired now.
All right, so I'm tired, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I guess I do.
Yeah, I do the same thing to you, don't I?
She sits in a chair.
Yes, you do.
Well?
Well, Clint, you're not a kid anymore. You ought to stop thinking like one.
What do you mean?
Well, like those jobs you're always talking about. Arabian pipelines, or expeditions to Chile as medical advisor, or, you know.
Yeah, what you want to say is that I'm a bust now, to forget about him. That's what you mean, isn't it?
That's exactly what I don't mean. You might get an offer like that tomorrow, and you'd be perfect for it. But that's a chance, and it's in the future. You can't spend the rest of your life... You know, you're a pretty lucky guy right this minute.
Lucky? Holy smoke.
You are. You've done exactly what you planned you were going to do when you were a junior in medical school. How many people can say that?
I don't know. But I do know I've got exactly $38 in the savings account.
So, every once in a while you get a guilty feeling that you've been missing out or that you owe something to me or to Tommy or somebody or other. Then you take it out on whoever happens to be around. Mostly, I'm around.
With the cup in his hands, he glances down, then looks up at her hesitantly.
So
stop feeling sorry for yourself.
Yes, ma'am.
And don't get smart with me. If there's a plague here, you're the most important guy in town. And not only to me.
Yes, ma'am. So?
So that's all.
Getting up, she goes back into the kitchen. He smiles and sets down the cup. Then lies on the cot, still looking toward the kitchen.
Well, how long you been cooking that one up?
You'd be surprised. That's what leaves a lot of time for thinking.
Something occurs to her, and she idly touches the doorframe.
Some of it I thought up a few weeks ago. About the time I decided that Tommy wasn't going to be an only child anymore.
Clint lifts his head from the pillow and looks at her.
You decided what?
You heard me.
Well, for Pete's sake.
She looks at him meekly.
Do you mind?
He gazes at her.
You son of a gun.
She steps through the door.
You said yourself that it was bad for Tommy to be an only child.
Oh, what do you know?
She crouches down to him.
And aside from Tommy...
Oh, you gotta stay away from me, honey.
He turns from her and she backs away.
Aside from Tommy, I have no intention of being too old to enjoy my grandchildren.
How do you like that?
Don't worry about the money, Clint. We'll work it out.
Don't worry.
His eyelids droop.
This is nice.
I guess the reason I did it was because I knew you really wanted it.
His eyes close.
I like you, Clint. It's only fair that you get some of the things you want. I guess that's the real reason. Clint.
Realizing he's asleep, she hurries to the phone. Later, in uniform again, Clint walks through a park looking around.
Hey!
Tom gets his attention and they step toward each other.
What's up?
I don't know, but it ain't good.
What's going on?
I said I don't know. They just told me to get you and bring you over here.
The mayor and Bob stride toward them.
Sorry I had to call you here, but my office and my home are crawling with reporters.
Now I find you've arrested one. What's the matter with you, Warren? Have you lost your mind? Desk sergeant hadn't made a mistake. He'd be there still.
Yeah, I know.
What imbecility
prompted... He did it on my authority, Mr. Mayor.
Your authority?
Yes, sir.
What authority is that?
He drops a cigarette and steps on it.
You're an advisor here, Doctor. A guest. And you can oblige me by confining your authority to your own duties. Where's Mackey? We can't fool around with this any longer.
I told him to get over here right away. He should be here any minute now.
All I want is a simple statement of fact. That shouldn't take him too long.
Mr. Mayor, we already got a line on one of the dead man's friends. His name is Poley.
Have you made any arrests yet?
No, sir.
When will you?
Well, it's hard to go
out. I'm sorry, we can't...
Neff approaches with Mackey and some other men.
Sorry about the delay.
Yeah.
Have you got it with you?
Yes, sir. Best I could do on short notice. I'm sorry.
About the same.
That's all I want. I had Mackey make up a statement, a complete explanation of the facts as they stand. Before I give it to Neff here, I want a confirmation from you that the disease can be contained and there's no reason for panic.
Our only chance for full cooperation, Clint, is to inform the public.
You agree?
No. The minute he prints it, the men we're looking for will leave the city. Now, I've told you once and I'll tell you again. Anyone leaving here with plague endangers the entire country.
The entire country hasn't got it. We have. A woman died here last night. This problem lies right here in our own community.
Community? What community? Do you think you're living in the Middle Ages?
Oh, come now.
Anybody that leaves here can be in any city in the country within 10 hours. I could leave here today and I could be in Africa tomorrow. And whatever disease I had would go right with me.
I know that.
Then think of it when you're talking about communities. We're all in a community, the same one.
Clint steps away from the men to Tom.
Give me a seat.
Take the bag.
He does.
Can I go now?
All right.
The mayor gives Neff the statement. As Neff leaves, the mayor lights the cigarette in Clint's mouth.
There are about 4 more hours before the morning edition.
Then I'm wasting my time here.
Do what you can, Tom.
He walks off.
I couldn't hold Neff. Strangely enough, I find myself in complete agreement with you. But I couldn't hold him.
He can color a story any way he wants.
Yes, he can. But that's his privilege. I won't take it away from him. And I won't say it isn't better that way. What is it, Bob?
Mind if I take off now, sir?
All right, but I want to be on the radio in the morning at 9 o'clock.
I'll be here by then, sir. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm taking the kids upriver to their grandmother.
Clint turns away, thinking.
Oh.
I'll be in your office by 8:30, but I got to do it.
All right.
Bob leaves.
Well, here we go.
Don't get any wrong ideas. He'll be there in the morning, and he'll stay there.
Yeah, sure he will. And kids are kids. Nevertheless, here we go.
Want some coffee?
No, I don't think so. Tell you the truth, I'm scared to death. I want to call Washington, start getting some help in here.
Clint walks away. The mayor and Commissioner Quinn watch him go.
Well, Dan, I seem to remember you as the guy that talked me into running for this office.
I was hoping you'd forget that.
At dawn, a couple kids leave a church, running past a priest.
Meet me, Mama. Send Vince. I'll be right over.
Pat escorts an elderly woman away from the church and toward Blackie.
This is Foley's mother. This is Blackie, his best friend. He wants to help him.
Yes, I heard he was sick, but I can't find him, Mama. He's not in his room. I was worried about him.
No, he's home. Always when he's sick, he comes home. But he's dying this time.
Oh, no, Mama. He's not going to die. I'm not going to let him. I'm going to send for a doctor for him.
He starts writing notes.
But the neighbors already have sent for somebody.
Yes, but Mama, this is my doctor. He's the best. He'll make Poldy well, you'll see. Now, you tell Vince to go and get him, huh?
He gives her the notes.
You see that Vince gets the doctor.
Pat nods.
Say, where did Fitch say he was going?
He went to breakfast.
He didn't go to breakfast. I've been looking for him. I'll find him and bring him over. You hurry up.
God bless you, Blackie. God bless you.
Later, Fitch holds Poldy and gives him water.
Do you good. I'm going to take care of you. It's just you and me, huh, Poldy? Just you and me, we're going to...
Fitch turns toward the bedroom doorway and sees Blackie arrive.
Hi, Blackie. I was just going to get you. I was going to get you, only Poldy was so sick I didn't want to leave
you. Shouldn't have done it.
He says we shouldn't have done it.
When Blackie shuts off the radio, Fitch stands and lets Poldy slump into bed.
What do we do, Blackie?
Blackie just looks at him.
Shouldn't have done it.
Take it easy.
Shouldn't have done it.
Fitch holds Poldy again to quiet him.
Sorry, Poldy, but there's nothing we can do about that anymore. The first thing we got to do is get you well.
He nudges Fitch aside so he can sit at the bed.
You hear me, Poldy? We got to get you well. I sent Vince for a doctor. Vince is going to bring him here. He's going to get you well.
I ain't going to get well.
Sure you're going to get well.
I'm going to die.
Oh, you ain't going to die.
I want to confess, please.
You'll confess later.
Get me a priest.
You don't need a priest. You need a doctor. I'm getting you one. You're going to get well.
He gets up and goes to the kitchen.
Stop, Poldy. Stop aggravating him. Will you, Poldy?
What's this?
Blackie opens an umbrella and twirls it.
I don't know, Blackie. I didn't see it when I come in. Let's get out of here.
Let him confess everything to the priest.
I'm going to get out of here. I'm not going anyplace.
Fitch tries to run out, but Blackie shoves him back.
Not what Poldy tells us.
He takes off his jacket.
Blackie, you ain't gonna...
I ain't gonna what?
Fitch steps aside so Blackie can go back to Poldy's bed.
All right, Poldy, let's get it straight now, just between us. What did Coach Jack bring in?
Take it easy.
I don't know. It's just my chat. I don't know.
You talked to him in that lingo, Poldy.
Nothing. I don't know.
Where is it, Poldy?
He climbs onto the bed.
It must be lying around someplace. Must be worth a fortune the way they're looking for who killed him. I got the collections, Poldy. I can move that stuff. We'll split it, me and you.
I want a priest, please.
What did you do with it, Poldy?
Please, I want a priest. Coach had three aces.
He's getting nervous.
Blackie slaps Poldy.
Where's the stuff, Poldy? Where's the stuff?
He holds Poldy down on the bed. Then he cradles him in his arms.
Your brother Vince Poldy is a nice kid. You don't want him to grow up here. If you had some dough, you could buy him and your old lady a place in the country. Country's good for kids, makes them healthy. Be good for you too, Poldy. You gotta get well. You're sick, Poldy. Very, very sick, and you ain't gonna get well in this dump. I got a doc coming. He's a specialist, but he's gonna cost dough. A lot of dough. Now, where's the stuff, Poldy? What did you do with it? What did Kotak bring
down? All right.
Clutching Poldy's neck. Blackie embraces his head and grabs a handkerchief from Fitch to wipe Poldy's face.
That's the way we're gonna be friends, Poldy.
What's going on here?
Startled, Blackie turns to find a nurse arriving.
How did you people get in this room? Get off that bed.
Who said for you?
Let's get out of here.
What are you doing here anyway? Are you members of the family?
We're his best friends.
Well, clear out of here.
Don't do that.
This man's got to be taken to a hospital immediately.
He ain't going to no hospital.
It just happens I've already reported the case. An ambulance is on its way over.
Blackie stands.
You can just send it back because he ain't going to no hospital.
His family have already agreed to hospitalization.
I bring the doc.
He follows Vince inside and nods.
Good morning, all.
How is he, miss?
He's a very sick man. High fever, doctor. Oh. Hot there.
She accepts a bowl of water from Poldy's mother.
Respiration difficult and uneven. I phoned the hospital for an ambulance. They're on their way.
He's going to stay here. That's why we got the doc. Now tell her, doc.
But if the nurse says we...
Vince, you don't want Poldy lying around some charity ward, do you? With some intern...
Adam Ant once went to the hospital. She never come out.
Oh, no, that's all right, son. We'll take care of him. Probably just a touch of malarial fever. We'll have him on his beat.
The nurse whispers to the doctor.
He can barely breathe.
Oh, it's probably some pulmonary complications. Now, there's no need to excite the family.
Yes, sir, I'm sorry, but don't you think a hospital is...
Well, you know these people. Very superstitious.
Well, yes.
And if you take the patient without permission...
Yes, sir. All right, doctor. We can't force treatment on you, but if you take my advice, young man, you'll get your...
That'll be all. Thank you, nurse. Just escort the young lady downstairs, will you, son?
Vince leaves with the nurse. The doctor goes to Poldy's bed and puts a hand on his forehead.
This man's in very bad shape. Just fix him up so he can talk. Give him a shot of something.
It's going to take more than a shot to make him talk.
Well, whatever it is, give it to him.
He needs an oxygen tent. He'd be better off going to a hospital.
He ain't going to no hospital.
You better fix him up now, Doc.
I tell you, he needs an oxygen.
Send out for some.
Unfortunately, I'm persona non grata in most of the medical supply houses.
What?
Fitch shrugs.
Now look, it's important for Poldy to talk to us, Doc. Very important, you understand me?
Well, there's a little private place that I have access to. It's a rather inexpensive proposition.
Never mind that. We'll take care of that. How do we get him out of here?
Well, if you could lift that mattress and get him down to my car, we'll take care of him right now.
All right, let's go.
Soon after, downstairs, the nurse leads in Clint.
It's on the third floor, doctor, up those stairs.
All right. Thanks for reporting.
He starts up the open staircase and spots Poldy being carried down on the mattress.
You better wait down here.
He runs up to Fitch and Blackie.
All right, hold it.
Out of the way, Bud. We got a sick man.
I'm a doctor. I want to take a look at him.
Get her on, doctor. Get out of the way.
Isn't his name Poldy? Put him down. I want to see.
Blackie throws Poldy over the rail. Fitch and Blackie run past Clint down the stairs. Blackie jumps down from the first landing and bolts, with Fitch not far behind. Clint joins the nurse, who's with Poldy on the ground. Blackie and Fitch run out to the street. Finding a fruit vendor's wagon, Blackie gets into the driver's seat with Fitch beside him. As the police cars get closer, Blackie drives off, leaving the vendor. He stops Tom as he gets out of one of the cars.
All right.
Clint meets him.
They just killed Poldy.
What?
Fantastic. Quarantine the whole place.
Clint and Tom jump into Tom's car, which takes off. The fruit vendor's wagon careens around a corner. Then around another one, dropping fruit from its open side. It stops, blocking an oncoming truck. Blackie and Fitch jump out and run toward one of a series of warehouses as the police cars approach. Getting out with Clint. Tom makes a call on his radio.
Captain Warren to headquarters. Signal 50, Coffee Warehouse. Captain Warren to headquarters. Signal 50, Coffee Warehouse. Come on, Rick.
Inside, workers haul sacks beside a conveyor belt. Blackie and Fitch run past them to the other end of the warehouse, but are blocked by arriving police cars. Fitch runs up an open staircase and Blackie follows. Tom and Clint run from one of the police cars to the warehouse, meeting several officers coming from the other direction.
You two guys go over that way, cover the roof of the building.
They follow Tom's orders, but he stops the two going up the staircase and tells them to stay guarding the bottom. Then Tom runs off with Clint. On the long, gravel-covered roof, Blackie runs across and checks the edge, then follows Fitch running along the roof beside a wall. He passes Fitch, but slides to a stop when an officer fires at them. Sliding near the edge, he pulls out his gun and fires back. He runs in the other direction, but stops. He kicks in a window in the wall. Fitch helps clear the glass and crawls through, dropping onto a pile of coffee sacks. Blackie jumps down after him, and they make their way down the pile. When Blackie helps Fitch down, they run unsteadily through the huge warehouse. They hurry to where workers are loading sacks to go down a ramp, shoving a worker aside. They slide down the ramp to the next level and keep running. Fitch struggles, leaning against more piles of sacks, but Blackie pushes him on, and they get around a corner and hurry among the piles. Outside, Tom confers with an officer. Then meets another captain.
Hi, Tom. Got the emergency squads working. The riot trucks are coming in.
Blackie and Fitch step out of the warehouse onto a dock and run toward a ship. With police coming, they run the other way, going back into the warehouse, hurrying among the piles again. They pause near another group of workers. Blackie casually walks toward a cart and looks around while Fitch sits on it, exhausted.
Hiya, Blackie!
A security man approaches him.
Look what drifted back.
Hiya, Pete.
Where you been hiding, fella? Ain't seen you in a dog's age.
Oh, I've been around.
A lot of the boys been asking for you. You thinking on coming back to work here?
Nah, not me. Had enough of this stuff. Say, so when's that fruit boat sailing?
The Honduras? Late this afternoon. She's unloaded already. Say, you ain't figuring on signing on, are you? She's got a full crew.
Well, I'll try her anyway. Take it easy, Pete.
Yeah, Blackie. Be good.
As Pete walks off, Blackie kicks the cart, making Fitch get back up to continue their escape.
They mean you, Blackie.
He shoves Fitch aside and pulls his gun to confront the police at the other end of the warehouse. He shoots Pete. The police fire back and Blackie falls near the sacks where Fitch has taken cover. Pulling him out, Blackie returns fire and both of them throw themselves over the sacks to get away as workers scurry everywhere. Outside.
We'll start at opposite ends of the building and work.
You shot a watchman in the warehouse.
That's it. Let's go. Start issuing rifle submachine
guns. We can't have those men shot, Captain. They're no good to us dead.
No shooting. What are we supposed to do? Play tag? Who is this guy anyway?
Come on, Danny. Let me give you a rundown.
I don't need no rundown. These are armed hoodlums. I got one man dead and two wounded.
Clint sneaks off. In an isolated part of the warehouse, Fitch collapses against a wall of sacks while Blackie rests as well, still alert.
We can't get out of here.
We gotta quit.
You ain't quitting, bitch. I'm getting on that fruit boat.
Outside.
Okay, if that's the way it is, starve them out or use gas, but I ain't taking responsibility.
Gas and a half $1 million worth of coffee? Are you... Where's Reed? Reed!
Inside, Blackie and Fitch crouch behind some sacks as Clint calls out to them.
I've got something to tell you!
Keep going down by that manhole.
They stumble off to more piles.
Hold the hand away!
I can't.
Shut up!
You hear me? Poldy had plague!
Listen, Poldy had plague!
I'm a doctor, I can cure you. It's your only chance.
Blackie, he had plague. Look how he looked. You touched him, I touched him too. Maybe he's right. Maybe we got the plague.
Blackie shoves him away. As Clint stands alone.
I'm a doctor and I can cure you. It's your only chance.
Jumping over more sacks, Blackie finds himself at a dead end as Fitch staggers behind him. Blackie looks around desperately, then runs at a post.
Come out now and surrender! And I promise nothing will happen to you!
It's gotta be here. Keep these sacks off. Reed!
Tom and two others run through the warehouse.
Reed!
Clint slowly steps toward the dead end, looking around. He trips on a manhole cover. Underneath, Fitch and Blackie creep along boards among the dock's pilings. Blackie kicks Fitch to go faster, so the fat man struggles to his feet and leads him to the edge of the dock, where they follow another path on the water's surface. Ducking under a plank, Fitch reaches a rowboat and rolls into it as Blackie stands, gun at the ready. Further back, Clint creeps along the same boards, looking ahead for them. He reaches the edge of the dock and continues following their path. When he gets to the rowboat, he finds only Fitch slumped over.
Where's the other man?
Clint scans the area.
All right, come on, get out of there.
He struggles to pull Fitch up while Blackie watches, hiding in a nook just above his head. Blackie pistol whips Clint, who falls into the rowboat. He climbs down from his nook to Fitch, who slumped in the boat again, and pulls him out.
Get off!
Aiming at Clint, the gun is shot from his hand by Tom, who creeps along the same path. As Blackie grabs for his gun in the boat, Fitch steps toward Tom. Blackie shoots at Fitch. The police fire back. Blackie turns to hit Clint again, but he knocks the gun from his hand. Blackie goes to a nearby ladder and climbs it to the dock. Tom steps past Fitch to Clint.
Where's the other one?
Went along those stringers.
Tom helps him stand.
You all right? Yeah, I'm fine. Let's go.
Blackie crawls along the guards just under the edge of the dock, just out of the view of the gathering police. He slips between two of them, dunking his face in the water. Then he keeps crawling under a mooring post where two thick ropes are tied. Standing up, he pulls himself up onto one of the ropes. Tom and Clint follow his trail along the guards. Tom spots Blackie climbing the mooring rope that stretches to the huge fruit boat. A sniper runs up.
Captain, there he is!
Oh, hold it. He ain't gone no place.
Blackie climbs until he gets to a large disc-shaped guard around the rope. He reaches one hand around it, but struggles to figure out what to do next. He gets the other hand to the other side of it, looking desperately toward the ship, but he starts to weaken. His legs dangle. Finally, he loses his grip.
All right, Leo. All
right.
A squad of police run to him.
Now we gotta fish him out.
Clint walks away. Later, Tom drives Clint back home.
Hey, I almost forgot to tell you. They found that case of perfume under the sink in Paulie's tenement. No customs stamps.
Perfume?
Yeah.
Is it worth anything?
Well, about $200-$300. Well, you want a bottle?
No, thanks. Not today.
Car 17. 37 at 23rd and Katina. Dog barking.
Well, check back to the grind again, huh?
A barking dog. They got a lot to worry about. Sending a squad car
what
out for a...
What are you getting so tough about?
I don't know.
Tom slaps Clint's leg, and they shake hands. Then Clint gets out.
Come on, Clint. Keep me in mind, will you?
Right, Captain. Come on.
As Tom drives off, Clint checks his mailbox, and Redfield's car pulls up across the street. Redfield gets out while Clint pauses at the chest of drawers.
Hello there, Doctor.
Oh, hello there, Redfield. How are you?
All right.
Good.
Say, Tommy tells me you haven't been around in a couple of days. You ought to spend some time with that boy. He's a great kid.
Yeah, well... been kind of busy.
Your own son comes first, you know.
I'll get to work on it.
Say, by the way, ought not leave this out either. Wood rot, you know.
Thanks.
Okay.
He walks off.
During which one man was killed and the other captured. As a result, Dr. Mackey of the Board of Health...
Clint finds Nancy on the porch listening to the radio.
...contacts have been found and inoculated.
Sounds like Mackey's got things under control.
He's a good man. Turn it off.
She does. And runs to her husband.
Hi. Anything new around here?
Not a thing.
He reads what he found in the mailbox.
What's that?
Just a bill from the cleaners, uniforms.
He notices her looking away from him, vexed. He leans in closer.
Thought I forgot, didn't you?
Grinning, she looks at him. He holds her face and kisses her.
What a mushy day.
With their arms around each other, they head back to the house. The End, described from Movies for the Blind.
And that was Panic in the Streets. Although it turns out it didn't really live up to its name, did it? That scene where Blackie climbs that mooring rope about 20 feet above the water was originally to be done by a stuntman, but he was having a really hard time climbing all that way and maneuvering around the guard before falling. So Jack Palance volunteered to take a shot at it himself, and he did perfectly. Guess that's not a surprise for a man who celebrated his lone Oscar win more than 50 years later by getting on stage and doing push-ups. None of that He-Man stuff in the next movie, which is all about the women.
Well, here they are. Jussie, Jean, and Polaire. Always together, thickets and thieves, out for no good.
Her fiancé's wife arrives, and it seems that she's a very narrow-minded person. So you don't meet any friend of mine until you sign a paper saying you've changed your habits.
I'll change any habits of mine that don't suit you the day you change your face for what I can stand.
You two don't stop scrapping, I'll send you both home. It ain't dignified.
I've got just enough sense to realize that you're a divine artist, which I object to.
Well, why do you object?
Because nothing that's divine's any fun.
Let her study with me for 2 years, and I'll make her rich and famous.
I don't want to be famous, and I don't have to be rich.
I think you better take him up and do what he tells you.
You didn't try to make me love you, Feldman.
You want me to?
Well, I'm still here.
That's Three Broadway Girls, next time on Movies for the Blind. For more information and links about the movies, about description, and how to subscribe, check the blog, moviesfortheblind.com, where you can also find out about this podcast's Creative Commons license. The movies are from the Internet Archive, which is also the host for this podcast, so please support universal access to human knowledge by visiting and donating at www.archive.org. Thank you for downloading and for listening. Be back next week. Take care.